So we'll have some fun today. We have a lot of folks on our development team here. We have a whole gaggle of them here, so I'll introduce a little bit here. We have Gary Burgess in our front row, who'll speak a little bit later. He's our overall development lead. These are good folks to kind of get to know through the rest of the conference. We have Ding here, and she's a development lead. Stephen as well. Stephen Boyd is a development lead. Max Setteroff is a development lead. We also have Lucy Guerra, product manager, and Tony Towser is a product manager as well. Mark Berry even works in our group. He has showed up as well. So a lot of good folks that are here that you might have known throughout the years, but let's kind of get into that. So first of all, I'm obligated to show you this slide, and I hope that you go to this events app and they give us some feedback. It could be good or bad, but it helps us plan for the future and understand how we can do better. So that's our slide that I had to show. I didn't put it together, but it's there. And then I guess just as a general overview, we'll show some demos, we'll show some PowerPoint, and this here, the key takeaways that we want you here to leave with today is to really to understand what is Business Analyst. How is it used? What are the components? How does it fit into the ArcGIS system? What is available right now that you can use and take away and go back to your hotel rooms and do? And then what is going on the road ahead? So what are we looking for? What are the development aspects we're working on? And then, you know, what is the next version that we're working towards, which is the major one is 10.5. It should be ready by the end of the year, and we have lots of good things that we're adding to it to help you out. So we're going to do this through some of the product overview and status. We're going to talk about how it's a connected system through our product demos, which are very exciting. And then we'll talk about some of that road ahead stuff. But first of all, I wanted to kind of engage you guys to figure out what kind of users do we have here. First, are we new to Business Analyst? Do we know nothing about it and we're here? Okay. A little bit? Okay. And then we have Business Analyst users now? Okay. So probably a little bit more on that side of the fence. So, we're just going to say, okay, so if we started with the other 50 first, and the folks that use Business Analyst now, do we have more on the desktop side of things? So we're desktop, and then web? Oh, 50-50, everything's 50-50. I thought it was going to be one or the other, and I was weird. We're going to this big fork in the road that was going to go this way or that way, and then I don't know what to do now. So, Stephen, could you go? Well, good thing is I'm not allowed to touch any demos today for your safety, so most of that will be done by these folks. I'll just be talking with you with some PowerPoint slides, and I will sit down and we'll try to do this musical chairs. So for those of you that are new to Business Analyst, they'll kind of frame this of what it is and throughout the presentation. And then for those of you who are using it, I think you'll be really – actually, everybody's going to be really excited about the things that we'll show, again, available now into the future. So just a few kickoff slides. We won't spend too much time in this world, but you know, what is Business Analyst? So first of all, it's a complete implementation of the ArcGIS system that provides users with content, technology, workflows to bring understanding to your work. So we do this with native apps, with services, with capabilities and content. It helps organizations make smarter site location decisions, so customer targeting and marketing. What would the world look like without mapping? And, it's just not a map. It should never be a blank map. And we provide a content foundation to get started. So we bundle software capabilities with content. That's kind of always there. And, it does allow you to combine your data on customer site locations with demographic, lifestyle, and behavioral and spending data from Esri. So we provide a good starting point of Atlas of Content. You're used to using maybe our data browser to add population and diversity, workforce data. But then if you have content as well, you can kind of shoehorn this in or fit it in, and then you can combine that and then run analyses with your data and our data, and I think that makes it really powerful. And finally, in this realm, it lets you understand this data using smart mapping. You can perform location-driven analytics and share beautiful reports. So no matter how sophisticated your analysis is, and I alluded to this a little bit yesterday in a demo theater, is that you need to communicate this to an audience. So we don't want you to just to work for a week and then take a screenshot of something and send it to your boss and say, look what I did. We'd like to present this and have it published in a way that's simple and elegant, ways to provide this and really to tell stories, and we do this a lot of this, the output is through reporting. There's story maps, there's maps, there's web maps, but a, 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 a big part of what we do is through different types of demographic reporting. And then if we had to go into the components of business analyst, so what is this business analyst, and then what does it make up of? Well, first of all, on the top there, well, actually, let's start at the bottom. It's all based on content. So it, you know, you deliver content to you. We have an information model, then we have these apps. And if we talk about the apps, well, we have a business analyst mobile app. So you can download that right now through your phone, iOS or Android. And that works well with the web. So we have a web version that's a subset of the desktop version. So the web version, you kind of consider that in the ArcGIS Online world, the desktop and server are going to follow the ArcGIS extension model. It's going to follow the ArcGIS schedule. When we deliver a desktop version, it's going to be available with, let's say, 10.4.1 or 10.5. And then from an information model, the information model that we have and that we are continuously working towards is really all about portal or ArcGIS.com. It's about sharing and storing and item types and my content, and that's where your files and your reports and your maps and your analyses live. And they can be shared out. And then from a content standpoint, we deliver content in ArcGIS Online, and then we deliver it on-prem. So if you can use desktop or web, and then you're connecting to our online services, we deliver demographics continually, refresh them, and they're just available in the cloud, and then you just connect to them. If you want it on-prem, some folks aren't comfortable with online, that's fine. We deliver USB devices, or you can download from my Esri, and then you just download that and install it onto a local machine. And then when we talk about content, we're talking about demographics, geocoding locators, streets, POIs, all the base map stuff. You've got business points, you've got shopping centers for the entire United States. We also have this for Canada and then elsewhere throughout the world. So we have content available online. Right now, you can just switch and toggle your dialogue to Germany or France or Australia or Sweden or you name it. We pretty much have demographics for in most countries around the world, which is very exciting. Then we have reports for those as well. When we talk about business analysts, we talk about it used in three main areas. Internally, we talk about site analytics, market planning, and then customer analytics. And we can expand on these as we go, and we'll get too far into these. But so market planning is all about understanding your areas of influence and how market conditions impact your business. And when we talk about site analytics, it's all about your locations. It's about your stores, your franchises. Should you expand? Should you optimize? Should you build? Should you close? When we talk about customer analytics, it's all about knowing and reaching your clients. Who are your best ones? What are their interests? Where can I find more of them? Where are they? And then I have this very interesting slide that expands on it a little bit more. If you get into the market planning world here, identify hotspots, expand into the market. If you're talking about customer analytics, your target marketing, you're doing a campaign analysis. Maybe you're in site analytics. You're doing certain site optimization, maybe site selection. Business analyst is definitely more from an industry standpoint than just commercial. It's more than retail or real estate. Some of our biggest industries are financial, healthcare services. It's pretty much used in every single industry. So it's kind of agnostic that way. I think it's primarily used in the commercial industry for many things, but that's definitely not the case for why and where it's used. So it's definitely, you can use it in all kinds of different ways. So I think now I was going to get into some use cases. I think I might skip those. I think you've heard me enough, and I've said enough. And I'd like to kind of skip through these. There was going to be a picture of this, a picture of this, and a picture of this, and that was it. And I was going to talk to those. You don't need me to talk anymore. So what I'd like to do now is I'm going to give it over to Max. Max is our dev lead. I've worked with him for years and years and years. And he's going to show you primarily start out with the desktop, show you some very interesting things that we can do. And I won't steal your thunder. I think you were going to talk more than that, right?
Sure.
Do you need my microphone?
Hmm?
You got one.
I have
one.
Okay.
So with that said, Max will switch it over and then take off.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Hey, everyone. I have here ArcGIS for desktop version 10.4.1 with Business Analyst Extension installed. So this is released software, and everything that I will be showing today is already available to you. Another thing about this configuration is that I do not have the local data installed. I'm just signed in to ArcGIS Online. And this gives me access to the whole Living Atlas, and I have access to the data for all the countries, even though my demo will be in the U.S. Another thing about this is that I didn't have to download 40 gigabytes of data from my Esri, wait to unpack and install it. So that's a big deal, too. Let's get started. So I have a few locations of a fictitious fitness center chain here, and I also have some customer data for it. I will start by creating a market penetration map. So that will show us how well we are using the potential of the market in different locations here. I will just select my customer layer here, and now it's something interesting. I have map layers. Those are just the layers that are currently available in my map. But also, I have the online layers here, and that's the layers that are directly available to me, usable in Business Analyst, but they live in ArcGIS Online. So I just choose the census tracts here. Also, I have all the 2016, the latest demographics available here. That's as of right now, this is the only way you can access the 2016, the latest data that we have. It will take us a few more weeks to deliver the local version of this data set.
So first off, does anybody use desktop connected to online data like Max is showing? Half again. No.
All right.
So this is the same data that if for the web folks that are here or that maybe are primarily working in the web, it's the exact same data. So it's housed and we access it through different access points.
All right, the variable that I will select here is called exercise at club 2+ times per week. So that's the number of people who are actually using the health clubs. So I will select that and click finish. Now, one more thing happens. It's actually executing in the background, so I still can continue to interact with the map and even use the other analytics functions, and it's just running in the background. I can view the progress of it, and I will be notified when it finishes. And it's running a separate process, and that process is 64-bit. It's a technical detail, but the benefit of that is that it can use the older resources of the modern hardware. So that improves the stability and the performance on the large tasks. Now I have the results back. And let's take a look. So in this census tract, we have 44 of our customers. And the total potential, so total number of people who are attending the fitness centers, is around 600. So my penetration is around 7.4%. This is a different census tract. Here I have 150 points of mine and around 500 the total potential. So penetration here is around 30%. So this is a market penetration analysis. Let me zoom out. Now let's talk about the base map. Once it throws.
Well, he's bringing that up. So 64-bit, when he was describing that, that's a huge, from a functionality standpoint, improvement. We've added that in the past to the geoprocessing tools. So those are there for the more technical folks that want to build models. But we've also, over the last couple years, taken that same concept and then applied it to the wizards. So the wizard workflows, a lot of folks are comfortable using part of the product. So the wizards are actually in 32-bit. So we've converted those also to 64-bit, and it just makes the entire product faster and easier to use. Mm-hmm. So some folks always want something new. What do you have? What's coming? And then some folks are saying, I've already got everything I need. I just want it to work faster and better and then more stable. And that's the process, and that's what we've added here.
All right, thanks, Kyle. So now let's talk about the base map. So this one probably looks familiar. This is ArcGIS Online World Street Map. And I also have a different base map here. And this is a fully local new vector base map that will be shipping with the 2016 local data set. As you can see, it still draws really fast, and it's of a high cartographic quality. So, Kyle, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
This is really cool. So this base map is produced by a group that we work with that creates the vector tiles that are going to be available in Pro or are available in Pro. So these are also for mobile map packages. So this is the same base data set. We're going to deliver this, if we plan to, with a 2016 data update that's available on-prem. And then really, I mean, if you're used to using the vector data now of the base map, you want all that cartographic styling and you want all that, just the ability to do so, but it's very, very slow. Well, you can still do that with this, but it's very, very fast, and the fast is good, I think, in this point. So it's going to be a refreshing way to use base mapping of a huge, giant data set for the United States.
Yeah, what I also like about this is that it's fully customizable. So, for instance, you might decide that you want the road network on top of your analysis. So with this base map, you can do that. Or you can, say, switch your highways to be red and not orange. It's doable, too. So.
Yep, and this is really important when you're down at the site level and you need to control what the map looks like. And you can't really do that with a rasterized web map. It's great for panning and background, but when you need to get down to the site level, this is going to allow you to do that.
All right, and the last type of analysis that I wanted to show today is the customer-derived areas. So we want to see the areas from which 40, 60, and 80% of our customers are coming to each of our locations. So I will just select the existing locations here, then my customer layer, and those are the thresholds, and I can choose from four different types of polygons that I want to create. So I'll just go with the default one. So you can see that it's also running in the background, but it should be pretty quick. It should be around 3 seconds. So even though there is some overhead associated with the 64-bit background, but the benefits, from my perspective, outweigh that by much. So again, with the 64-bit background, you get all the resources of the modern software, and still it can be really fast, as you can see. All right, so I have created the customer market penetration, and I have done the customer-derived areas. Now I want to share my results to ArcGIS Online. To do that, first I will get rid of the base maps quickly, just because it doesn't make much sense to share them. And then it's as simple as just going to File, Share As, Service. I will publish it to my organization in ArcGIS Online. I'll give it a name. And hit Continue. So all I need to do at this point is to set up some required tags and descriptions, and I need to choose who I will share this with. So I have a special group created for that in my organization, ArcGIS Online. And now I can click Publish, and it will take a couple of minutes to share it. Instead of just waiting, I'll jump directly to ArcGIS Online, and I'll open the map that I have created from the same map document a few days ago. So I can click Open in Map Viewer.
And, so this could be ArcGIS Online. It could also be your portal. So this could be behind your firewall, but he's sending this to a centralized location where the rest of your organization can view it, edit it, share it, access it.
Exactly. And I have all the same data here, so all the same fields in my market penetration, and I also have my customer-derived areas. I even have my customer layer shared here, too. So you can see all those points as well.
And if you're familiar with the customer-derived areas, just to kind of set that up, I mean, that's a type of trade area. So business analyst is big in catchment areas or trade areas, and that's kind of, it's polygons. But so it's kind of a way to show where your I guess your best customers are geographically, your primary, secondary, tertiary, trade areas. So where are the closest 50% of my customers, or where are the closest 50% of customers who have bought a specific type of product? So it kind of weights it towards that way.
All right, so I have all my analysis results in ArcGIS Online now, and I have shared it within my group called the UC Demo. And my colleague Steven is a member of that group and will have access to this. So
yeah, cool. So what's great about this as we kind of transition from Max to Steven is that Max is working in the desktop. He's using Business Analyst. You have access also to the web. It doesn't really matter at this point. So Max is doing all this Power GIS stuff. He's running models. He's doing things that aren't available maybe on the web. But how is he gonna send that to the rest of his organization and have them view it, consume it? And it's, you know, he's not going to ship you a laptop with desktop. No, he could just publish that to Portal or ArcGIS.com, and then you can access it through the web. And then that's what Steven's going to show as well. And he can expand on it and take it further.
This is the Business Analyst web application. Want to point out a couple things before I begin my demo. First is that everybody who has a business desktop license also has license to the web application and by extension the mobile as well. The second thing I want to point out is this is version 5.3. This was released last a week ago Monday, and this includes the data update for the USA for 2016. So this is available right now, and you can go back after this, log in, and do everything I'm about to show you. So I'm going to start by pulling in the web map that Max created. I'll switch over to my Maps tab. I'm going to open up my web maps. This is my content, but Max had shared that to my group, the UC Demo that I'm a part of. So there's his web map right there. I'm going to add this map. You can see that get pulled in. And once it's pulled in, I can begin to work with the layers. So if I go into My Content under Web Maps, you can actually see all the layers that Max has added. I can toggle these on or off. So here's the there's the customer-derived areas. There's the existing locations. I added the 30,000-point locations. I think they're buried underneath the market penetration. There you go. You can see all the individual points that Max had added. But for this demo, I'm going to work with the customer-derived areas that Max created. And I'm going to select one of these polygons, and we're going to create a site out of it. Let's just pick this one. So I'm going to create, this is creating a site out of this polygon. And once the site is created, we can start to get some information about it. And we're going to do this through reports. So previously in the web application, you could only run our Esri standard reports. In Business Analyst Desktop, you've had the ability to create your own reports with a report editor, and we've now brought that functionality to the web application. So our new web report builder allows you to build, share, and produce beautiful-looking demographic reports. So I'll switch over to the Reports tab now, and this is our web report editor. So on the right side, you can see a preview of the template that you're going to be creating. On the left side, we have a list of all our Esri standard reports that we've all know about. Up here also, I have reports that I've created previously, and I also have reports listed here that have been shared to me that were made by other users in my organization. All right, so since Max, we were kind of evaluating a health or center, fitness center location, let's create a fitness center profile report. So I want to start by pulling in some demographic information. I really like the demographic section in the retail market profile report, so I'll select that one. And then I want to pull over the summary demographic section. So I'll just select it, drag it over to my template, and there it is. So let's get a little more information, maybe specific to a fitness center. Pull up the market potential category. Let's grab the health and beauty market potential report. grab the product and consumer behavior section and pull that over as well. All right, so that's now added to my report. So now there's some variables in here that I'm not too interested in. So actually, I can just select these rows and remove them from the report. Okay. So in addition to using existing reports and dragging over sections to create the report, you can also select individual variables and pull them over. So let's get some disposable income information. So I can come over here to our data browser under the Select Variables tab. And again, just like dragging over the reports, I can select multiple variables, highlight them, and drag them over. So let's squeeze this up here between the two sections we've already added. I'll drag it up here. It's going to give me a couple prompts here. Do I want to append it to the current section? Do I want to add a new table section? Replace this whole section? Or I didn't mean to do anything, so let's cancel. But let's add a new table up here. Okay, and then now we have a disposable income section between our two previous sections we dragged over from the reports. So these are intelligent reports. So that means that since we know the underlying data, we can select those and we get some context-based options based on what was selected. So I'm going to select those disposable income variables. And I can come over here and actually, with one click, I can just add the percent column. So now we have both the numeric values for the area, and then we also have the percent column as well. Let's say we want to sum those up. I can select those variables again. Under the calculate totals, I can sum the cells, and this will add a new total row with the total values underneath. So tables of data are great, but sometimes you want the data to stand out a little bit more. So we can do this by creating a chart with our data. So I'm going to select those disposable income variables again. Come over here under the Create Chart tab, and let's create a horizontal bar chart. So one click, and the chart is added to my report right underneath the disposable income section. So now that it's added, we can actually go in and customize that chart. So I'm under Chart Options. Let's remove the legend. Let's add the data values. I always like to see those on the chart. And click Apply, and there we go. Okay, so let's space this out a little bit more. I want to add, let's put a page break here underneath the chart so the next table's on the next page. Whoop, wrong button. Page break. Okay, so you can also add any of your own images. You can add your own text. Let's change our logo. So let's pull over this VA team logo. This was created by none other than Kyle Watson himself. He's our resident graphic designer on the team.
I went class artist in high school, and now I work here.
All right, let's center that a little bit. Okay, I'm pretty happy with the report so far. Let's give it a title now. Called the Fitness Center Profile Report. There it is. Okay, Fitness Center Profile Report. So I'm pretty happy with my template right now, so let's go ahead and click Save. Let's name that template. Save that. And so what this is doing is this is saving a report template item on ArcGIS Online. So I'm going to switch over to my content on ArcGIS Online, and we can see that. Let me refresh this. Is my content on our ArcGIS Online organization. I'm under the report templates folder that got created, and you can see my new Fitness Center profile report. So just like any other ArcGIS Online item, this can now be shared with other members of our organization, either through groups or at an organization-wide level. So actually, I'll select this, and I'll share this with everybody. So I can share this with my organization. So now anybody in my organization who logs in to the web application or even on desktop will see this listed under their shared report section. And then they can go ahead and grab that template and run that report for any area of analysis they want to look at. Okay, so let's switch back now to the web application and actually run this report now. So I'm back in the web application. We've got it saved. Let's click Run Report. Okay, so now this takes me back over to our Run Reports tab. So if you haven't been here in a while, we've actually modified this a bit. So now we have our Esri reports listed here under the Esri reports category. I've got my reports listed here. You can see the fitness center profile report that we just created, a couple other ones I've created as well. And then I've got a whole bunch of shared reports from users in my organization. But by clicking Run Now from the Build Reports tab, it's all automatically adds my Fitness Center profile report to be added. I've got the customer-derived area that Max created in the desktop site, and we're just going to go ahead and click Run Now. So there's our report, there's our logo, there's the sections we added, there's our chart, and there's our table. So we were able to create a brand new fitness center profile report from scratch in only a couple of minutes. So I want to again point out that not only can this be read in the web application, this can also be run on desktop now, this also can be run on our mobile application. Okay, that's it for my demo. I just wanted to remind everybody, if you have a business desktop license, you also have a license to the web application.
Switch to number one for me.
And all of this is available right now, so you can go create your own custom reports in the web application. So with that, I'm going to turn this back over to Kyle.
Nope, me.
Over to Gary.
Yep. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Burgess. I just want to point out that I've got the Business Analyst mobile application on my phone right here. I just ran Steven's report because he shared it with my org. So just kind of an illustration of how that works. One other thing to point out is that the desktop application also has a really rich report designer as well, too. So that workflow where Max is working in desktop, he could have also created a custom report, shared that so that the rest of the organization could run the report. I think that's a really powerful story here where, you know, you've got one report author could then be creating a custom report with the rest of the organization as well, too. So at this point in time, we were going to switch to some road ahead stuff, but there's one thing I wanted to show. I worked down in the commercial island yesterday, and I must have had about a half dozen people come up to me and say, boy, I really wish Business Analyst had this data set or this data set. So, you know, one was really popular. It's like, boy, I wish Business Analyst I could add traffic data to it. And I wanted to emphasize again the point that I think Max or Kyle made at the beginning, and that is that, you know, just because you're using the Business Analyst web app, you're not just limited to, you know, the content that comes with the solution. You also have the kind of everything else that comes with Esri's living atlas of content. So I've got this is still the released version of the Business Analyst web app. Again, I'm showing this in the web application, but we could do this in ArcGIS desktop as well, too. So let's say I'm in Kyle's hometown here, and I want to know what the traffic is like around downtown Detroit. Wouldn't it be nice if I could add traffic data? So, you know, that same way that Steven was able to add the content that Max published, you could also add content from that living atlas. So if I go here to the web maps and I'll do a search for 2016. Oh. Traffic. And you can see here that there's this web map, and now I can go and add this data. So what that's going to do is load this data from the living atlas as well, too. I'm going to switch to the light dark canvas here because I think it really works well with this particular data. Now you've got this kind of rich traffic data for all the kind of street segments in downtown Detroit, and you can click on these and get more information about the number of vehicles that are there. You could not only can you use this as contextual information, you know, for creating beautiful maps, we could actually use this to, and say desktop, for example, to run you know, some complex analysis or models or something like that. All right, so now I'm going to pivot. So I just want to emphasize again that everything that Max showed you, everything that Steven showed you, and everything that I just showed you with the traffic data is available now. You go back to your offices, share it with your colleagues, try that out. So what we're going to do now is for the second half of this presentation, show you some of the road ahead stuff that we're working on. So there are two things that we're going to show you. The first here is that some new stuff that we're doing with reports, and I'm going to show you this in the web application, and the target release for this is our 10.5 release, which means that by the end of this year, this will be available to you as a user. And then when I'm finished, Ding Wan is going to show you a new site suitability workflow that we're also adding to the business analyst as well, too. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the kind of the new report designing experience. So, you know, I thought that Stephen's demo was really great, and it really addresses something that customers, a lot of our users, have been asking for a long time, is that wouldn't it be nice if I could take section one from this report, section two from this report, combine them together, and make them look nice. So last year, that's the kind of the feedback that we received from you know, a similar group of audience. And then, you know, when I talked to them, one of the common themes that we got from users is many of you are working in Business Analyst, dumping the data out into something like Excel, and then, you know, spending time in PowerPoint and other graphic softwares trying to make the reports look nice. And in some cases, it takes weeks, and they have to work with, you know, graphic people in their organization. It takes a long time. So the mission that we wanted to do is that could we take the concept of you guys are running this great analysis, you're running different types of processes, and you want some way to create a beautiful snapshot or a graphical representation of a property, a site, or an area so that you could convey important information to the rest of the organization. So that's what this whole concept of a new graphic report is going to look like. So There are basically two different ways that you can create one of these reports. The most common way and the easiest way is that you can use one of our ready-to-use templates. So our design team are still working on these. They're not final, and some of the UX is still a little bit green, but I'll give you an idea. So let's say, for example, that you're a real estate professional and you want to create a promotional flyer that has some site characteristics as well as some demographic content for a new proposed property. So we could use the new property flyer template. So what you can do here is basically select that, and it comes with a ready-to-use report that you can work with. So, you know, it has a placeholder image for your property. It has some placeholder image text for your site characteristics, placeholder where you could switch out your logo, and then it has some different demographic panels that you could play with, as well as a map panel. So, and it's basically the way this works is you can actually just go in here and customize the report. So if you want to, you know, edit this panel and give it a title, we could call it the UC report, and then we're off and running. And, you know, if we wanted to change the image, we could do so. Don't like your machine, Max.
Are you trying to add a maple leaf?
I would like to just...
I don't think I have one.
No, I've got... That's very nice, Max. All right, we're nimble. We're moving. Switch to number 5.
Gary, who tries to add a Toronto Maple Leaf logo at that point?
It must be a Red Wings computer or something. Yeah. All right, so you kind of get the idea of where that's working, so I'm going to select a different report template, and then we'll hit edit here. We'll call this my UC demo. To look like me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so that's it, and we could be done at this point in time. You could be done with the report template, but we know that one size doesn't fit all, so, you know, even though this is a ready-to-use template, you can customize it to make sure it looks like what you want. So in this particular template, we've got a small map and a big chart. So maybe you say, you know, I'd really like to move the chart over here and the map over here. So you can actually grab one of the panels and move it around. So that's the point where you guys are supposed to ooh and ah, or at least recognize that that's pretty cool. Come on, jaded people. I know it's the third day of the conference, but that was cool. All right.
You don't have any holograms.
All right. Wait till I pull out the Oculus glasses and go like this when I'm trying to make the report. So that's really cool. So, you know, now I've got an income chart down here and an income panel up here. Well, let's move the income so that the panel's right there, right? Again, you guys are really lousy at oohing and aahing. I've given you... So I'm going to give you...
B plus.
Yeah, B plus. Maybe even a B minus, Kyle. All right. So now I've got, you know, the thing. Now let's say I really don't want housing stats. I really wished I just had some key demographic indicators. Wouldn't it be cool if Esri provided like a library of these really visual and compelling infographic panels? Now it would be cool because you can actually replace this, and then at this point in time, I could add a chart, I could add an image, I could add text, but there's this new concept of these infographic panels, so I could select one here, and lo and behold, look at that. Esri does provide like 10 or 12 of these beautiful looking infographic panels that are ready to use. So, you know, there's some on housing stats and people's spending habits and such. So it's really, really kind of neat. So I could select this key facts one, and then we'll go and, you know, just replace that. So now, you know, I've created this kind of report, and now I could do exactly what Stephen showed before. You know, I could save this at this point in time and call this the ASDF report. And then it's going to save that just like Stephen did. It's going to create a new report template item, and I could go and you'll run that report and create a PDF, right? So that's pretty neat, right? So let's take that one step further. Now imagine that you as the kind of the GIS professional organization, wouldn't it be really nice if you could take this report and create this kind of visual dashboard where people could interact with it so that you could create, you know, a really compelling a demo for this type of report. So I'm going to show you a very quick and sample application. So just
before you do that, yeah. Matt, you had a question?
You had a question about the last report, Gary. Is the workflow when you create that wonderfully beautiful template,
yeah,
that when you run it, a user would have the opportunity to swap out the image?
Yes.
Right.
So that's a really good point. And so I'm going to address that in a second. So I'm going to park it for a second because I'm going to come back to it. So there's the report that I've created, that ASDF report. And I'm going to, again, I'll share that with the rest of my organization as well, too. And now what I've got here, this is just a kind of quick and dirty sample application to illustrate how this could be done, and we're going to have a better experience for this when we release. So what you'll see here up at the top, it has the list of all my reports. It doesn't have the ASDF report because this application loaded all the reports in my portal prior to opening. So I'll just hit the refresh button right now, and the ASDF report will come up to the top. So now what I can do is select on one of these properties, and what it's going to do is it's going to assemble all the data using our online services and then create this interactive report. And what's really cool about this is it, you know, it's a live, kind of living, breathing HTML sample. The map here is live, so you could interact with it and you have the panel. And then to address that really great question here is that, yes, the intention here is that if you have attributes associated with that site, like the size of the location, what the name of the facility is, if there are associated pictures of it, you can not only can you use this report technique to display Esri information, but if you've got your own content in those, you know, trade areas, that could be dynamically updated here as well, too. So pretty cool, huh? So I'm going to show you this just one more time, and we're going to use a kind of a different experience for using these reports. So you can see here that here are the templates that come up with, but you also have the concept of my report. So if you've created a report last time and someone says, hey, I really like the report that you created here, but I wish you'd had different types of income variables, you could do that as well too. So you could work with your reports. But you can also start with blank layouts and we'll have a different types of kind of visual layouts for working with the report here. So I'm going to select this particular layout that we're working with here, and we'll select this report. And basically, the workflow is pretty simple. You've got this kind of different panels, and you just interact with them, and you're going to add different content into them. So for example, if I want to, again, here, edit this, and we'll select an image, and we'll put that nice BA team logo on there that Kyle created. And then I'm going to add different content to this report. So one of my favorite infographics that will come with this is the tapestry infographic. So it basically gives you information about your top three tapestry segments. And I want that to be really big because it's nice and visual and engaging. And then we've got, you know, I'm going to add some other infographic panels here as well too. So for example, I go back to the key facts, and we'll add that, and then, you know, maybe we'll add some information about some spending data as well too that we've got here. All right, so with the infographics as well too, so someone might be wondering in the audience, these are really cool, but what happens if, you know, I want to create one of these kind of visual representations of my own data or some different variables? Can you build your own infographic question? Kyle, can you do that?
Yes.
So yes, you can. So there's this concept of having the, you know, these ready to use infographic panels, but you could also build your own. So I'll show you how this works. So so we have one based on that I've created before based on seniors. So this UX is definitely not final, but I just kind of wanted to show you how it works. Is the idea here is that you could select a variable, and you're going to drag and drop it over here, and then you could, you know, select the different shape that you want it associated with it. So, for example, here, we'll, you know, we have a set of different shapes that you can come with. So I've got the senior population and hit apply. So that's pretty neat. So if I wanted to have information about seniors, we could add that here. And then to address that really great question from the audience, this is where you could actually have your own content here as well too. So if you wanted to add an infographic that had your own sales, or you wanted to create a chart based on your own site properties in terms of the number of parking spaces or the square footage of the location, then you could be creating this kind of visual representation of that report as well too. Yeah, so someone has a question. Yes. So that's definitely our intention here, is that these will become report template items that live and breathe. And then what we're likely going to have is have an experience where you could run one of these reports as a kind of a pop-up in desktop as well too. Yeah.
You have a question over there?
Yeah, I'll run this again, and we'll save this again, and we'll call this UC Demo 2. All right. So what this is going to do is going to save this report and UC Demo 2. So just to go over the workflow, what's happening here. This is the author experience for building one of these new graphic reports. You know, so the vast majority of people that are maybe consuming the reports will never see this building experience. This is kind of the builder, the authoring experience. So once that's created, it creates a report template item inside the inside your portal. So you can see here it created UC Demo 2, just got created. So to address your question, how does that work? So all this is right now is just a member of our team, Alexander, is a really talented guy. He put together this little example to illustrate how you'll be able to consume these reports. It's really not the final experience. But basically what this sample application does is it goes to my portal and says, give me a list of all your report templates. And at the 5.4 release at the end of the year, or the 10.5 release rather at the end of the year, right now, you can produce PDF and Excel documents of your reports. What we'll have is we'll have this new way to produce your reports that's basically dynamic HTML. So it's like a code sample that you could put into any web application. So imagine that you've got your own intranet or something like that. You could publish that item, and then we'll have like a little code snippet, and you'll add that to a web page, and it'll basically add that as dynamic content to your report.
Okay.
Did that address your question? All right, perfect. All right, so we'll run this again for the demo too. Yes. Yeah. So there are two ways that you could do that. One is that the report builder could do it and say, like, I'm going to just create a one-time report and I put my own thing. The other thing that we're going to be working on, and Tony Hauser here in the front, he did a demo of this in the demo theater. The mobile application allows you to take photographs of your sites, or collector allows you to attach photographs for this. So what they will do is imagine that there are actual photographs associated as attachments to these properties. Then you could be dynamically updating the picture of the site that's come. We just don't have that kind of capability working yet. Yep. All right. So the last thing I wanted to illustrate is just that, it's really cool. They look attractive, but what we're going to be doing with many of these panels is they'll be interactive as well, too. So here's an example of it's listing the top three tapestry segments in each of these locations. And this is an example of how they're kind of interactive, so users could work with the different panels and get more information about their college towns as well, too. All right, so just to summarize, this is kind of the direction that we're heading for creating graphic reports. If anyone has any questions of that, please come see us as well after the session, or you could visit any of us down at the spatial analysis area on the expo floor. Anybody that's working there can give you not only a demonstration of the custom reporting that we have available now, but the new graphic reports that we're working on as well, too. So we're gonna finish this road ahead section up now, and my colleague here Ding is going to do a demonstration on a new workflow that we're adding. This we're calling right now as a working name suitability, but the idea here is that imagine that if you did have a number of properties in a particular location, wouldn't it be nice if you could score these based on some different criteria? So Ding, you want to go ahead?
Right. Okay, so for example, here we are seeing 9 stores of comfortable shoes. So there are someone out there, for example, using Esri's collector to collect some field information about those stores. For example, as we click on it, we can see that we have sales volume, we know how big the store is, and we basically know the traffic count around those areas. So now, for example, the manager back in the office, he wants to run a promotional campaign. He wants to know which of the 9 stores should he choose to run the promotional campaign. And what they can do is that they can use the new workflow that we are introducing. It's called site suitability. So first of all, they can already, so someone in the field already save it in a web map. So in the office, you can go to import this web map. So now you got all the data already inside the application, in the web application. So this site suitability workflow is a workflow that helps you to identify the best candidate. So what it's doing that is you can set up your criteria based on several variables, and then it will calculate a weighted score to show you how well a site is suited based on your criteria. So for this site suitability workflow, you can start with the points on the map, or you can start with the selected site. So meaning that you can use, for example, a greenfield analysis for any of the polygons or the geographies that you already created. For example, you can run a greenfield analysis on a block group that created using the standard geography. So in this case, let's start with the points on the map. So to make things simple, we can start with create a 3-mile ring for my analysis. So now we have those sites created. And I wonder which one should I run my promotion, right? So I go next. And in here, it's where you can set all your criteria. So first of all, you can use all the Esri provided living atlas demographic information. For example, if I know that this is a female shoe that I want to run promotion with, so I'm pretty care about the female population, so I select the female population, and also that people's income are also important, so I select the income information. So now what's happening here is that it's querying the server. For each of the variable I selected, it's querying the value for each of the site here. Here comes. So now we can stop here. But what is cool about this application is that you can use the attributes that are collected by yourself. So for example, I care about the store size and the traffic count. I can choose those variables as well. So after you set up all the variables that are important for your analysis, you can change the weight of the variables. For example, I know I really care about the female population around this area. And I really care about that people are actually traveling around this area. So for example, I can change my weight accordingly. And then I say, OK, female population is important. Traffic count is important. Now I can start to run my analysis. And this is really quick, because in the previous step, we already calculate all these values. So here it's just calculating the weighted score. So from here, we can see that this store on the Century Boulevard is what we are looking for. And also here, this one on Beverly Boulevard. So we can look into the details about how we calculate it. So for each variable, we calculate the value for each site, and then we normalize the value to the range to 0 to 1. So with the 0 meaning the minimum value, and the 1 is the maximum value. And then we multiply this score with the weight that you set for this variable to get a weighted score. And then we summarize the weighted score to calculate the final score to give you the how suitable the site is for your criteria. So for example, the first one, if we look into it, we know that the female population is the high risk in those candidates. And we also see that the traffic count is one of the high risk. So this is suitable for my analysis. And the second one, even though the female population is not the high risk, but they really have a pretty high income in this area. So this is another thing that pops up. Yeah. So for those variables, it's hard to analyze by individual variables. So it's those variables combining together here to give you how suitable the site is. And also I want to mention that for this analysis, you can run the whole analysis only based on your own data. You don't need to use either demographic data, because you can import this data through the web maps, or you can import those, for example, in the import files. Yeah. And also, what we are working on is that we want to add functions to enable the both negative and the positive effect for each of the variable. So for example, you really care about the cost. So if you have a cost variable, then you want it to be negative affect the score. And also we want to add the spatial data into here. So for example, you can choose, do you want to be closer to your competitor, or you want to be further away from your competitors?
Yeah. Yep, that's a thanks, Ding, for that point. So one of the things I wanted to emphasize to this room is that we're still kind of in the early stages of this experience, so the kind of final experience hasn't been worked out. One of the other things that we want to do is let this workflow to be a little bit more interactive, so you could do some what-if scenarios. So when the analysis is run and with some initial weights, if you wanted to say, wow, that's really interesting, what happens if I made traffic more important? And then it would update dynamically as well, too. So, I'd definitely, if this is something of interest to you, I'd invite you to, engage with Ding after the session or down on the show floor, because we'd certainly appreciate some feedback on something that we're working towards. All right, Kyle.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So I think I don't even know where the PowerPoint was. I think we had one very important one in there that was going to be a little bit lower.
I think there's some things you did want to mention that we're also working on road next.
Yep. Okay. Yep. All right. Oh, I remember now. How you guys doing? I'm back. So that was a little bit about the road ahead. the last part of that. So it's always exciting. It's things that we're working on. Very, very excited about. So as Gary mentioned, definitely stop by our island. We're at the Spatial Analysis Island. We'd like to talk to you, figure out if you like this, if you have anything more that you'd like to see in our products. We have our corporate direction, our vision, but we need to know what you guys are up to, too, so we can help. So we showed you graphic reports, site suitability. We talked a little bit about mobile data collection, and that is it'll be a connected our mobile app. You'll be able to go in the field. You'll be able to, you know, tag site characteristics, photos, and those will immediately be available in your portal, and you can use those in your reports. You can use those in your analysis. So it just doesn't have to be in a report. Those site characteristics can be in something like this, like in site suitability. Another thing that we're working on is that we're working on a way to provide all of the demographic content that we have, the capabilities, we call it our geo-enrichment capabilities, on-premise. So it just won't live in the cloud. We'll deliver it towards the end of the year. That'll be on-premise that you can use it as a server or a server-based application. And then with that, we want you to open up the Business Analyst web application. So you install Server. It has demographic content available. And then the first thing you do is open up the Business Analyst web. It says, do you want to connect to your data? So you're connecting to your data. So it's just not Esri data. It's your data behind the firewall, and you can use that. I think that's incorporate your own data. What else? Let's see. That's pretty good right there, right?
Yeah.
I guess with that said, I hope there's no copyright infringement on that. It's kind of a takeoff there. We just thought it kind of looked like Batman. But thank you. Thank you for coming.
Questions.
And then, yes, of course, in the next slide, do you have any questions? Do you have any questions that you'd like to address now? And then we can help answer those. We have some?
So we've seen that via the this interactive working with the desktop solution as well as the model builder. Does all of this have the ability to use ArcPy to kind of code through the process once we figured out the whole process?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. So the business analyst comes with about 80 plus GP tools. So the tools, let's say what Max illustrated, they're doing the customer drive trade areas and the market penetration. Those are all GP tools, and because they're just standard vanilla ArcGIS GP tools, those are all exposed through Model Builder, through Python, and all the other different ways that you consume different core capabilities. It's a good question. Thank you. Yes.
Good.
Yeah, so the question is how does Esri vet or work with the business data vendor? So, we do quite a bit of work to decide which vendor to have our business data. We have received some feedback that, some of the data is not timely in certain markets and such. I can share with you that I think what we're trying to do is, as a team and as a larger organization, is make many more business data available, like I showed with the traffic data. So there's at the business summit that we did on Saturday or Sunday, we're working with one of our partners, AgData, that create business data. So we met with them prior to the conference, and we want to make their data available as well, too, recognizing that one size does not fit all. Yeah. A question at the back, very back. Yes. Yeah, so that's a really good question. I'm going to repeat it. So for that, the dynamic HTML report that I illustrated, the question was, does the data get updated on the fly or is it captured? The answer is both. So, you could choose to have ship the data with the report so it all just lives and breathes without an internet connection, doesn't consume any services or anything. But you could also choose to create the port where it's dynamic, where it will go and get the data and query it. The example that I showed you right there was all dynamic, so every time I clicked on one of the polygons, it queried our our APIs, get the demographic data, and put it on the report. So did that address your question? Yeah, so that's a good question. So there's, with the whole credits, so the one thing here is that there's, and this is maybe a conversation we could have offline, but there'll be a different business model for viewing these because they're on-screen infographics, and it's going to be, much cheaper to view that. And then the idea here is that if you want to save the report out to a PDF or export to Excel, then it would charge credits. But the kind of on-screen viewing will be very kind of inexpensive and used that way. Yeah, question.
When we load our own data, for example, like credit card data or housing data or any data that my organization owns, can we use your algorithms
to portion? Yeah, so that's a great question. I'm going to repeat it again so it gets recorded. So the question was, is can you bring in your own data and then use it using our apportionment algorithms? And that's exactly that road ahead slide that we were working on. So the idea here is that if you have a feature layer in your organization that had, credit card purchases by census tract, you'll be able to load that in just like you load in any other web map and then use that in the reports and apply our apportionment. So yes.
Can you do that using the server so that we don't get your data?
Yeah. So that... Everything that, that's a really another great question. So the question was, can we do that on our server? So, Kyle's first slide was really important. So, business analyst isn't like some magical separate thing. It really just is ArcGIS. And then the whole ArcGIS model is that, it could be in the cloud or it could be 100% on-premise. So, we work with some healthcare providers that use business analyst server and desktop. And, there's extreme regulations about making sure that data's, behind the firewall. So they have everything, including the base maps and the geocoder, everything's on-prem on their own private network. And then we have some organizations are all the way to the other side of the spectrum, and that is they don't want to, it's just too much of a pain in the butt working with their IT department, so everything's in the cloud. And then, but there could also be this kind of hybrid approach. So the way that the web application works is it basically works with your portal and says, okay, hi portal, how are you doing? Good to meet you. Where do I get my geocoder from? And it does a handshake and says, well, the geocoder here, that can be the one that's in the cloud. And what about the base maps? Well, those will be in the cloud too. Oh, but what about the business analyst server? Where does that live? Well, that has sensitive credit card information. That's going to be on our network, and you could work with this kind of approach that way. So it's very configurable experience.
Yep. But then the experience would be just like they were looking for variables through what we call our data browser, searching, filtering. That's where it lives. So you can search for your own content or Esri content, and it's all in the same interface. Just pull it into a report, Esri content, your content. Or any analysis. Question?
Do you support external data like SQL Server?
Yeah, so basically the way that it'll work is that if the data can be represented in Portal as a feature layer, then we'll support it.
Okay, so regular SQL Server?
Yeah, it needs to be spatial data. So for the 10.5 release, if you want to aggregate data, your own data, it needs to be recognized as a feature layer that has, polygons in Portal. Question?
So since you mentioned the pain in the butt of working with internal IT, we have to get each build certified so that we can get it onto our desktop. With 10.4 generally available now and 10.5 coming out, would you recommend one over the other if you're going to have to go through like a 2-month process of getting that certified?
I mean, that's always a loaded question. I sympathize with people that have rigorous IT departments. We recognize that they're important in organizations and making sure that things work. My feeling on this is that you know, we'll be here next year and we're going to do the same demo and we'll show you this is what's in 10.5 now, but hey, look what's coming in 10.6. And you could play this game. Oh, I want to wait for that next new magical feature. We're always going to be creating new toys for you to play with. So, you know, my recommendation is always, you know, use what we have now. And then, you know, the ArcGIS works on a kind of annual update cycle. So once a year, a major version will come out with some new features. Yeah. And if you want to dig into that further, you know, grab us afterwards.
We have customers using ArcView still. Yeah. They might not want to upgrade to ArcView 3.2.
Question. Yeah. So the question was is that can, you know, rather than having, you know, five or six different age cohorts, could you roll them up into one and weight that? And the answer is yes. So we could show you how to do that now if you wanted to see it. Yeah, another question in the back? Yeah.
But I kind of grasp it that a lot of the people, especially, and I'm not saying, I mean, just the people that look at these kind of reports are the managers.
Yeah. It's a really great comment, you know. So the question is that, you know, with Tapestry, it's, you know, like you've got this segment here, Metro Renters. Well, you know, what does it mean? You know, so, you know, for this infographic, you can click on the, you know, the one and you get a kind of a detailed page that explains what a Metro Renter is. So it'll give you a picture of what it looks like and some description. If the wireless didn't work so poorly here, it would load up much faster.
Is there maybe just a one-page thing you guys could put together that's aimed at analysts, you know, that very quickly, and if you do more than one page, they probably won't read it.
Yeah, we have. So your question was, like, you know, you have a summary page that just kind of highlighted.
Yeah.
We have individual pages for each one, and then we do have this great graphics. We have fold out. Too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great feedback. So, you know, we have these kind of panels that we have for every segment explains what it is. So we're going to make those kind of more pervasive in throughout the application so that people could...
Upfront. Yeah, upfront. Wonderful graphic page.
Yeah.
That maybe gives me raises.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good feedback. One last question.
Yeah. 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 It's. I think you're right. You know, one of the other pieces of feedback that we got with the infographic panels is that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. So maybe there's a, you know, like a really short panel description. Maybe there's a really medium sized description and one that's really detailed, and you choose which one you want. So, you know, I think one of the things that we want to do is take this great content that's in a PDF now and make it dynamic so that you could add it to those graphic reports. So we're at time now. I'd like to thank everyone for joining. And again, if we didn't address your question now, come get us afterwards.
Thanks, guys.